Have gone. You'll be late for your next lesson. Come back tomorrow. In art, everyone would have finished their picture. Everyone except Alice. She was still experimenting, mixing colours, changing her painting. The teacher would say, "Hurry up, Alice. You can finish next time, but now you must run along." After school, Emma would say, "Hurry up, Alice. I want to get home for music practice." But Alice would dawdle. Walking home was an adventure. She liked to look at things. Velvety pink geraniums on fences, purple and green parrots in plum trees. She liked smelling things. Red roses on arbours and lavender in hedges. She liked talking to dogs at gates and ladies grubbing in gardens. Alice liked walking home in sunshine and in shade, splashing through puddles in the rain, watching leaves whirling in the wind. She didn't want to hurry. Before tea, it was, "Hurry up, Alice, and feed the dog. Hurry up, Alice, and finish your homework. Hurry up, Alice, and set the table." After tea, it was, "Hurry up, Alice, and finish the wiping up. Hurry up, Alice, and finish cleaning your teeth." Then, "Hurry up, Alice, and go to bed." And when she was engrossed in a book, it was, "Hurry up, Alice, and put the light out." "Why do I always have to hurry?" Alice muttered as she punched her pillow. Sometimes in her dreams, perfect strangers were saying, "Hurry up, Alice!" Then in the morning it would start all over again. Until one Saturday, when her mother said, "Hurry up, Alice! We're going whale watching today!" Squashed. Alice hopped out of bed, ran to the toilet, and was out of the shower before Paul and Emma had even stirred. She had fed Rags, set the table, and finished her cornflakes before they even appeared. She had helped her mother wash up, make the sandwiches, polish the apples, and fill the cooler with cordial before they had eaten their breakfast. "Hurry up, Paul and Emma," Alice said. She fetched the camera and the binoculars, then helped her father pack the car and clean the windscreen. She filled Rags's bowl with water, hugged him goodbye, and said, "Sorry we can't take you today. I'll tell you all about it when we get home." "Hurry up, everyone!" she shouted, and climbed into the car, sitting beside the window behind the driver. At last, everyone came. Paul opened the door behind the driver. "Hurry up, Alice, and move over." Alice didn't want to budge. It wasn't fair. She had been there first. But Paul said, "Move over," again in a big voice, so she slid across the seat behind the front passenger. Emma opened that door. "Hurry up, Alice, and move over." Alice didn't want to budge. It wasn't fair. She had been there first. But Emma said, "Move over," in such a loud hiss that their father looked round and said, "Hurry up, Alice." Alice inched across to the middle, the squashy middle where she didn't want to be. She wanted to be by a window to look out. Even more, she wanted to be by a door so that when they came at last to the beach, she could jump out and run across the sandhills and be the first to shout, "There's a whale!" But she was squashed like a sausage between Paul and Emma, sandwiched between Paul's big bottom and Emma's bony knees. She began to sulk. Not a lot. Just a little bit. Somehow the sun didn't seem quite so bright as when she had hugged Rags goodbye. When are we going to get there? The others started counting. Trucks, trains, traffic signs, then horses, cows, sheep. Paul and Emma always scored more than Alice. "It's because I'm squashed in the middle," Alice thought, but didn't say aloud. If she had, her mother would have said, "No quarrelling in the car." "And I'm not quarrelling," Alice said silently. "I'm just squashed." Instead, she said, "When are we going to get there?" Dad gave his usual answer.
"When we do."
"In about an hour, Alice," Mum said, and passed a bag of jubes. Emma took the black one. Paul took the green. My favourites, Alice thought, aggrieved, and took a red one. They started a game of I Spy.